the way God has agreed that can be circulated here. It's a good resource we just produced in the documentary. 5 minutes. It's connecting this issue, the school of America's issue, to the globalization issue, to the economic giants, to those who run the sweatshops, to the managers of the multinational corporations who go down to look for profits, of course. And these soldiers trained at this school go back to Latin America and provide the muscle, really, for the large corporations, for the economic giants. They are the enforcers. One thing we have come to, that economic system that's...
You are listening to Blast Furnace Radio. Blast Furnace Radio has sickened of the North, and we've come south for some pecan pie. And now we have an interview. In fact, I want at the beginning of the interview for both of you to introduce yourselves.
Well, I'm Bill McNulty.
No, not yet. You have to watch my hand. Okay. So, anyways, the spontaneity is killing me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm Bill McNulty. I'm here from Long Island, New York, and I'm part of the 10th annual vigil and demonstration that's taking place this weekend at Fort Benning.
My name is Rhiannon Price, and I'm reporting on this. I am in sixth grade, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Can you give us a little background on the legal difficulties for the protest this year?
Yeah, this was a unique year. Things were drastically different, and a lot of it had to do with the blowing up of the Trade Center in New York City. But from very early on, we learned that the city of Columbus did not plan to give us a permit to hold the demonstration. And when I first learned this, I was assured by our own permanent staff people at SOA Watch that we would eventually get that permit and that the vigil demonstration would take place. However, as time went on, we were not getting the permit. It was not forthcoming. And it became obvious, too, that the city, apparently in response to the high security alert that the military base went on, they felt it was their duty to try to take steps to prevent us from gathering down here at Fort Benning this year. So there was negotiation, and we eventually learned that we would be given a permit to be at a park, not at the gate, not at the place where we have traditionally had the vigil, right at the main gate of Fort Benning, but rather we would be given a permit to assemble in a park some distance away. And that permit would only be given for one day, Saturday. Traditionally, the vigil is a two-day affair. Starts on Friday night, but all day Saturday and all day Sunday have traditionally been part of that vigil, and it has always culminated in a solemn funeral procession on Sunday, where people who felt that they were ready for this would actually participate in civil disobedience. So we learned that we would not be given a permit for Sunday. Well, negotiations continued. And finally, word came out very, very recently, just this past week, that we would, in fact, get a permit for Sunday also. But there was a promise made that in response to getting the permit, we would not conduct the funeral procession all the way from the park, some 6 miles away, all the way from that point to the gate. And the reason that the city did not want this to be done was because they felt that marching that long distance would be a safety hazard to motorists and to pedestrians and so forth and so on. So SOA Watch did agree that they would not process from the park to the gate. Well, as this week came upon us, the final week before the vigil, the city took the position that we had said that we would not process at all. But SOA Watch said, no, we never said that. We simply said that we would not process from the park, but we will process from some point closer to the gate. Well, that was a shock to the city because they had interpreted the negotiation as meaning we would not process. So they, on Thursday, they named four people who are members of the School of the Americas Watch organization. They named Father Roy Bourgeois. They named Ken Little. They didn't know his name, so they had to call him Ken Doe. They named Jeff Winder. And they named one other person whose name escapes me for the moment. But those four people were named in court papers that were initiated by the City of Columbus, whereby they were seeking an injunction to prevent the march from taking place. And they brought that action into the municipal court, the local court, and they wanted the judge to issue an injunction against the procession. Well, immediately we had attorneys calling themselves the Just Cause Legal Group. They jumped into the fray, went to the court, and since there were constitutional questions involved, they initiated a order and a request, I just can't think of the proper legal term, asking the judge that this matter be moved to the federal court since there were constitutional questions involved. And that's exactly what happened. It went into the federal court, and today that hearing was to take place in Columbus, Georgia, before the magistrate judge there, Judge Faircloth. The early part of the day was taken up in negotiations, and the negotiations from our side was aimed at seeing to it that the funeral procession would take place. However, the negotiation was unsuccessful, and finally, this afternoon at about 1 o'clock, the hearing, the actual judicial hearing, took place. It went on all day. The judge heard testimony from all the city fathers that underscored and outlined all the dangers that would be presented. And lo and behold, the judge shocked us late this afternoon, early evening, when he said he denied this attempt at the injunction. And he made some outstanding statements saying that if the military could not take care of itself without the help of the city, it was in tough shape. He also said that we are not in a state of war, that an act of Congress is required for that. The idea of being in a state of war is part of the justification that the military authorities were using for trying to prevail upon the city not to allow this procession to take place. He also made the statement that School of the Americas Watch was protected by the Bill of Rights and by the Constitution, and he further stated that we have had this boulevard out here, Fort Benning Boulevard, as a forum for free speech for 11 years, and it would not be proper for him to reverse that process. So all those were startling statements, and they were outstanding statements that were made by this Judge Faircloth. And the short of it is that the city's attempt to gain this injunction was denied. So we will be having the funeral procession. Anybody who participates in the funeral procession will not be subject to arrest by the authorities here in Columbus. However, we will be limited to Fort Benning Boulevard, which is the same boulevard that we have used for the last 11 years. But the fence that has been erected across the gate, where there was never really a gate there until this year, that fence is off limits. So technically, you may approach the fence, but technically you may not touch the fence. There was also what was called the 50-yard provision, because the government, in conjunction with the city, sought to establish a new line 50 yards this side of the gate. That also was thrown out the window by the judge. So the point is, we may process down Fort Benning Boulevard, and we may process right up to the gate. So that's what happened in terms of the legal skirmish that was going on, which unfortunately did distract us from our primary objective. Our primary objective is to come here and, with the help of thousands and thousands of people from all over the United States, the hope is to deliver a very strong, forceful message to the authorities here at Fort Benning that this school, which teaches torture and has taught torture and enables folks to go back to their own home countries and cause a lot of death and suffering to their own people, that this school, whatever its justification for having originally been formulated, has long since passed, and that it should be immediately closed. And that's our main objective. So it was unfortunate that we got sidetracked in these other areas, but I do think that there were some very important questions that were clarified in the course of settling that question.
Okay. And how was the March permit issue resolved?
Well, you know, we may have covered that. The March permit issue was resolved in the ways that we just discussed. So I think we pretty well fully covered it, although I will say this, that we were on pins and needles, because I personally thought that the judge would almost have to decide in favor of the city. I personally thought that, because I didn't see how he could be courageous enough to sort of stand up to the power structure here in the municipality. But yet he did. See, I was present in his courtroom last May. I was here when the 25 people who were prosecuted for being involved in last year's demonstration, mm-hmm. when those people were being tried. And I saw him, how he operated. I witnessed him as he expressed concern and sympathy and empathy. But he got to a certain point during those proceedings when he said, okay, I've listened to you, but now I've got to do my job. And his job then was to sentence all of those people to prison, including an 88-year-old nun. So I kind of figured, just having that experience, even though he had this empathy and this sympathy back last May, I kind of felt that he would have to stay within the bounds that are dictated by his job. But he really stepped outside of those bounds today, and I'm very, very happy that he did what he did.
Mm-hmm. And is SOA Watch still planning to march all the way from the rally site?
No, they actually cannot do that by virtue of what the judge did today. The judge was very specific in his ruling, and he specifically said that the march must be confined to this boulevard right out here, Fort Benning Boulevard. So we will not be marching from the site, not from the park, all the way. We will simply be following that order, and our march will be confined to Fort Benning Boulevard right here.
Okay, and now that the permit issue has been solved, there won't be any arrests?
Well, there won't be any arrests of people who are simply taking part in the procession, because they're protected by virtue of what the judge ruled today. People could be arrested or would be arrested if they touched the fence, or if they went over the fence, or if they went around the fence. In other words, people, if they did try to gain entrance to the post, then they would be subject to arrest. And I think we can predict that those arrests would be by federal authorities if, in fact, they should occur. See, I think this puts quite a burden on individuals because there is a heightened alert. There are new security considerations. There are new realities here on the ground. In past years, there has never been a gate across this entry point. We always refer to it as the main gate. But Fort Benning, for the last 11 years that the SOA Watch has been conducting these activities, it has been what's called an open base. Anybody could go on to Fort Benning. There was no prohibition. It was an open base. The only people who could not go on Fort Benning were people who had made it clear that their purpose was to deliver a statement against the continued operation of the School of the Americas. It was acceptable for people to go on the base and speak in favor of the school. As a matter of fact, many times at graduation ceremonies, etc., dignitaries, congressmen, senators, etc., would be invited on the base, and they would speak in favor of the school. But that was always denied to us. And even though we made requests to have a chance to speak at some of these events, in negative terms, those opportunities were never offered to us. So we had to avail ourselves of another means, and that was part of that notion of conducting the funeral procession. So in past years, the open base, it was easy to access. There was not the heightened security situation that we are now facing. So people have some very serious questions to deal with if they are considering doing something that is that falls into the category of civil disobedience. They have some serious questions to deal with personally.
Okay. And civil disobedience action been planned?
There is nothing planned other than the procession, and the planning revolves around the legal guidelines that have been laid down. So nothing has been planned beyond that. And I think it's going to have to, that's going to evolve. Whatever might happen is going to evolve as the weekend progresses. And I think it, if there is anything of that nature that does develop, and we'll only know when we reach that point, it will most likely develop as a result of the actions of affinity groups that have been formed. These affinity groups are local groups. They come from cities and towns and villages all over the United States. They're people made up of people who've been working on this issue for long periods of time. They're people who have exhausted, in many cases, all of the means that are legally available for people in this democracy to use when they try to impress their legislators with the need to perform a certain way. And so those affinity groups will be struggling with these questions. Will I continue to do my letter writing and my phone calling, or will I do something that is considered by some to be outside the law? See, so if there is anything of that nature that takes place, it will be the result of these discernment processes that take place within these little affinity groups. So we can't predict.
Well, thank you very much for the interview, Mr. Bill.
Well, thank you very much for conducting it. It's been a pleasure not only to talk with you, but to have had the chance before we went on the air to read the story that you prepared. And I guess you read this over the air earlier, didn't you? Terrific. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your effort.
Thank you.
And thank you from Blast Furnace Radio. This interview will be soon placed on the internet at Radio for All. We thank the author of Stream Ripper.